Lloyd Griffin, Joanne McNally, Kiva Bob, Tom Allen, and me, the one with one. And now here's your host, it's Jonathan Ross.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you, Moan. Well, hello and welcome to Jonathan Ross's Comedy Club. As always, alongside me, I have the very funny, the very musical, the very tracksuited, the Moan and only... Moan Rizwan, ladies and gentlemen. As ever, keeping within the guidelines, we've asked our audience here to wear masks for tonight's show, so thank you all for doing that. This week, we wanted to decorate them with something instantly recognisable, something that will light up the room when you walk into it. That's right, have a look at this. It's Jimmy Carr's teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. It's a room full of Jimmy Carr's. If we lower the lights, they actually glow in the dark. Of course, tonight we've got some of the best new faces in comedy, but one of our more established acts is already here. He's one of the UK's best comedians. It's the fabulous Tom Allen, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming along. John, thank you for supporting the show.
It's my pleasure. I love lemons. Yeah. So...
Well, it's great to have you. I'm curious about your lockdown, because I think it's well known that you still live with your parents.
Yes, I'm very successful.
Okay. So how was lockdown? How was lockdown for you as kind of an adult child?
Quite stressful, actually. Yeah. Like trying to teach my dad how to use FaceTime, because that was the only way he could hang out with his friends. And they don't understand about lighting. So they don't realise you're supposed to face the window. But they had the window behind them, and they looked like criminals on Crime Watch. All of them, just these faces you couldn't see.
That means why you're here this evening. You're going to do some stand-up for us at the end of the show.
Stop saying that so aggressively. All right, I'll do it.
You can't wait. It's going to be great. I'll be chatting to Tom later on, and he'll be performing, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Allen. Woo! OK, so let's get our first act out of the evening. He's a comedian who also collects fire engine memorabilia, which is another way of saying he steals from the emergency services. Will you please welcome Lloyd Griffin?
Hello. Hello, hello. Good evening. Thanks very much for having me. I live on my own in Battersea because someone's doing pretty well.
My landlord.
Yeah, he's doing really well. Every month he takes me pants down and then 2 days later he collects the rent. Now, it's just a joke, isn't it? Have a laugh, why not? I am a comedian. I am, fuck off. But I do have another job as well as comedy. I'm a singer, I'm a choir boy, I'm a professional choir... Why are you laughing, dickhead? Why are you laughing? I'm a singer, and at the moment, all the churches are shut, so I'm having to practice at home. And basically, I sing quite high, a voice called the countertenor, otherwise known as male alto. And the word countertenor is actually Latin for little fat bloke that sounds like a chipmunk. So basically, I was just in my little flat in Battersea about 3 or 4 months ago, and I was practicing a medieval folk song. I was just in my living room singing It Was a Lover and His Lass, and it goes like this. Here we go. Now, leave it out. It was a lover and his lass with a hand on a hand. No, 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 no. It's... Why are you laughing? I can see behind your mask you're laughing. You're shaking your head. It's a bit weird, but I was just like... No, 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 in springtime, the only little ringtime when birds... And I heard a knock. I was like, oh, there's some builders out the front. It's probably the builders. So I just carried on. In springtime, the only little ringtime when birds do sing... And there was more knocking. And I was like, that's not knocking from outside. That's a neighbour asking me to shut the fuck up. I was like, nah, do you know what? The little Grimsby council estate boy and me just popped out. I was like, nah, 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 nah.
Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Oh, no, stop it. Stop it. It's embarrassing. Stop. Stop, guys. There's more acts on. We've got to get on with them. You've stopped. OK, fair enough. there was no more knocking, and I felt like an absolute legend. Do you know what I mean? Walking around the house like I owned it. Do you know what I mean? I rent. And about an hour later, I went to leave the house. And as I was leaving the house, one of the builders today went, "Hello, mate, are you in number four?" I went, "Yeah, I am." He went, "Look, we're going to do some drilling outside for the next 20 to 30 minutes. Do you want to pull your window down so no dust gets inside?" I was like, "Oh, mate, thank you so much for letting me know. Yeah, I'll go do that now." He went, "Do you want to tell your missus as well?" I was like, "Eh?" He went, "I heard a girl singing in the back bedroom. Do you want to tell your missus?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll just go let her know now. She's really fit. I'm so lonely."
Our next act is a brilliant stand-up comic from Ireland who lives with a psychiatrist, which sounds like a very tough lockdown, doesn't it? Will you please welcome Joanne McNally? Hey, Joanne.
My name's Joanne, I'm balls deep into my 30s now. Not delighted about it. I'm aging, curdling, you know, going off basically. And I'm not thrilled about it. Because it's worse as a white woman, because we age in dog years. Did you know that? Yeah, scientific fact. We age at 7 times the speed of every other colour of woman, because we're see-through. So it's like looking into the window of a washing machine. You can just see us rotting from the inside out. So I've made some improvements. Got my lips done. Thank you. What do you think, sir? Are you impressed? It's quite a discreet job, actually. I'm quite happy. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's still a bit tender, but I... Nice! I said I could do one fanny joke. That's the end. That was the quota. My friend Carol just had a one-night stand with a man half her age. He was 21. And I said, "Carol, how was the sex?" And she said it was shit. I said, "Of course it was. He's a child. He's 21. Do you remember what it was like having sex with a 21-year-old? It was a shitemare. I like to be laid out like a spatchcock chicken. I like a variable, maybe a triple wick Jo Malone candle flickering in the corner. I'm a grown woman. I don't want a 21-year-old going at me like he's... Like, do you know the franticness of it? They don't make love to you. They drill you for oil. It's horrible. And then you have to stop them. You have to interrupt them and go, "Dude, I don't know what you've heard, but the hole's already there. You don't have to drill a new one, pal." Don't think I was supposed to tell you that about Carol. I think that was a secret. I can't keep secrets. My friend's in Alcoholics Anonymous. She told me, I said, "Why did you do that? Now you're just in Alcoholics. I'm going to tell everyone. Tell everyone. Everyone knows. Don't give me information." Men can keep secrets because they just don't care. My ex used to go drinking with the lads. They don't talk. He'd come home and I'd say, "How are the lads?" And he'd be like, "What?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know." I'm like, "How do you not know? What do you talk about?" He's like, "Nothing. Nothing." And I'm like, "Really? Wow. You've been gone for 2 days. And nothing. No information was exchanged. I can't get my head around it. When I go drinking with my female friends, there is no information not exchanged. Every single sentence starts with, "Oh, my God, okay." You can't tell anyone what I'm about to tell you. Joanne, I mean it. Joanne, look at me, look at me. Because I'm fizzing with the excitement. Because it's good. It's Carol. You don't know what the fuck she's done now. I'm like, "Carol, what is it? Tell me." She's like, "Joanne, you betrayed me 15 times. Look at me. Calm down. I'm fizzing." I'm like, "Come on, Carol. I've changed. I've changed. You can trust me now, Carol. I'm a new woman. I'll take it to the grave." But the grave is actually the name of a WhatsApp group I've set up. All the shit about Carol goes into that WhatsApp group. That's me. I've been Joanne McNally. Thank you.
You know, Tom Allen is still here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thrilled to say. You present Bake Off, the professionals, of course. Everyone up and down the country was baking in lockdown. A lot more baking went on than previously. Mm. Did you get into it as well? Do you ever bake for yourself?
Absolutely not. I instead got into juicing. A lot of juicing and a lot of exercise.
What's your go-to juice?
That's a very personal question, so I won't tell you. I don't really mean anything. What are we saying? Jizz?
We've all made up a meaning for it. That's the beautiful thing.
What's the worst thing it could be? Jizz! Jizz! That's the thing. I just drank jizz all during lockdown, and I feel great. So, yes, I've been drinking juice. Yeah. And that's... No, my go-to juice is not that interesting. I mean, I quite like a beetroot one.
No one's interested. I shouldn't have asked that question.
This has been terrible. All the other people who've sat here, I think, have had quite nice conversations with you. You asked me about baking during lockdown. I was like, well, let's talk about cheers.
Yeah. So Tom's going to be performing for us at the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Allen is going to be here. Do you want to get back? Because we're going to take a break now. But Moan, what's coming up next?
Might speak to the bosses at ITV. I've got this idea for a show, yeah? It's like a comedy club for telly. I'm thinking of calling it Moan Rizwan's Comedy Club.
Yeah.
You could DJ.
I would gladly DJ for you. Although what I actually meant was what's coming up on the show, so I'll tell everyone. Coming up, we have the fantastic Kima Bob, we've got some exciting comedy acts new to TV, and the brilliant Tom Allen, so don't go away. Favourite Sugar Babe song. Welcome back to Jonathan Ross's Comedy Club, the comedy show that delivers to your door. Now, before we see our next act, Moan, you have, I believe you have a mantra that gets you through life, because I've never heard you say this before.
It's something my mum always said to me, which was, when life gives you mangoes, make mango juice. And I've used that phrase all my life, not knowing that's not how the phrase goes. When that Beyoncé album came out, I was like, she got it wrong.
So how do you use it? How does it benefit you?
Make a song out of it, obviously. You want to hear it?
Yeah, please.
The other day, I was eating a mango and it got me thinking, mango, where did the man go? Did he go where the other man go? Did he go where no other man go? Go to the other man, where the man go? Other man go, no man, just go. So if I'm mankind, what kind of man can mankind find? You could be bitter like a man-made lime, or you could be sweet like mango churning. Mango churning, mango, mango churning. Mango churning, mango, mango what? Mango churning, mango, mango salsa? No! Mango churning, mango, mango what? When life gives you mangoes, make that mango juice. I'm a whole lot of man, but tell me what's the use? Cause my hair gel, my aftershave is bulldog, is man cave, but I want fruity shower gel. Give me that fruity shower gel. You man are lying, with that body wash that you're buying. You get that shit to make you feel hard. You know you want to smell like rhubarb. What the fuck is sporting pack? That's not a flavour, that's a concept. I don't want to wash myself in a concept. You man are dumb, you man are lame. Arctic ice, that shit's vague. I don't give a fuck about what they say. This mango shall not obey. Squeeze the juice out of this life before this life passes you by. You can be bitter like a man-made lime, or you can be sweet like mango chutney. Mango chutney, mango, mango chutney. Mango chutney, mango, mango what? Sing it! Mango! Mango, mango,
chutney!
Mango,
chutney!
Mango, mango, chutney!
Moan Rizwan, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get our next act out here. She's from Houston, Texas, but she now lives here in the UK. Their loss is our gain. Will you please welcome the fabulous Kima Bob? Hey, Kima.
Guys, you look lovely. Glad to be with you. Very happy to be having a bit of a connection. Yeah, eye contact. Okay. That guy wants to fuck me. Absolute madness. I've been watching a lot of TV during lockdown, okay? And I've learned some things. Some things I would like to share with you. Okay. 99.999% of all solved murder cases in the past 3 years were only closed because of a Netflix documentary. Yeah, it's absolutely true. I wouldn't lie to you. And you know where I learned that? A Netflix documentary. It's true. Justice just doesn't happen any other ways, okay? The cops are busy eating donuts or beating up protesters or something silly like that. They don't have time to solve crimes. These movies are solving more crimes than these police officers. I have an idea. How about we send these police officers to film school? I'm so scared. So with these facts and these figures pouring in, with all this math I gotta do, I'm thinking, how do I get my murder solved? Okay, because it's gonna happen. It's inevitable. And I need to get myself in a documentary, okay? I need people to watch it and think to themselves, oh my God, who is that dead girl? She seems so fucking cool. Have you seen Don't Fuck With Cats? It is about this dude called Luca Magnotta, okay? And I'll tell you why I know his name. He is fascinating. He is such a weird man. And it's called Don't Fuck With Cats because he killed some animals in some videos, which is fucked up. It's not okay. But you know what's even more fucked up? He killed an entire man. Yeah. And I'm not trying to victim blame or anything like that, but I don't know that man's name. I guess what I'm saying is, let's call him Tim. If Tim was more interesting, it wouldn't be called Don't Fuck With Cats. Mm? It would be called Don't Fuck With Tim. I'm not gonna be like Tim. No, 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 no. I'm out here. I'm putting my face out there. And guess what? I'm gonna be even more interesting than the pervert that kills me. Yeah, because it's gonna be a pervert. You know it is. But guess what? Joke's on him. I'm a pervert, too. I'm a horny little creep. I'll say it. I don't even care. Look me right in my eyes. I'm a horny little creep. When I saw Two Girls, One Cup, I said to myself, not bad. I'm a horny little creep. I'll tell you so you can tell the world. So when my documentary comes out and it's a big hit, you'll be able to say to your friends when they say, oh my God, who is that dead girl? She is so cool. You can be like, oh, well, that's Kima Bob. And I loved her before the murder. You're welcome. I've been Kima Bob, and you guys have been pretty cool.
Kima Bob, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's always exciting to see new stand-up talent, of course, and that's why I love this part of the show in particular. It's our quick-fire spot.
Let's see. Hey, that's fresh, man.
Yeah. Let's meet them now. Will you please welcome the fabulous Josh Jones?
This is very exciting. It's so different to my normal gigs because I'm from Manchester. So normally my gigs are in the northwest of England in working men's clubs on Friday and Saturday nights for big burly boys on the stag do. And they all start shouting out straight away and they try to put me down. So I have to let them know at the beginning. I'm like, boys, listen. I might evidently be gay as fuck with a personality that's brighter than the sun itself, but I'm not a pushover. Start running your mouth and I will shove my cock in it. So, yeah. I didn't come out the closet until I was 20, and even then I was really confused because I had a sex dream involving a woman. What? That's crazy. I know it is. In the dream, I was there, like, proper going for it, like, proper giving it my all, and she was there, like, oh, get off my husband! So that's when I knew. And my name's Josh Jones. Thank you very much. Bye! Woo!
Josh Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Will you please welcome onto the stage Fatia El Ghoui.
Shalom. Thank you for coming to the New to Islam meeting. As Jonathan said, my name is Fatia, not Fatima, not Fajita, and definitely not Malala. Sounds funny, innit? Innit? When I was growing up, right, in school, the kids, they used to tease me. They used to say to me, did your mum call you Fatia because you're fat? And I used to be like, listen, yeah, Fatia's the first chapter in the Quran, yeah? It means the beginning or the opening. Like, what does your name mean, Lisa? Yes, who's single here? Any singles here? Yeah? What's the matter with you? Don't you have any cousins? Mental. So, guys, I'm 39. I don't look it, innit? See what happens when you pray five times a day. Thank you very much for having me, Fatia. Thank you.
Fatia El Ghoui, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Fatia. It's time for our final act of the evening. The fabulously well turned out and very funny Mr. Tom Allen.
Lovely. It's lovely to be out, isn't it? And I've never been this excited about an outing since I was at school and we used to have the school trips. Oh, I got so excited when we used to go to Lullingstone Roman Villa. And we'd have to go. You basically have to go. They'd send home a letter to your family. They'd say, dear parent slash guardian, I don't know why the newspaper had to be involved. Do you give permission? And your parent slash guardian would have to go, yes, I give permission. And they'd also say, bring suitable clothing. Bring suitable clothing. Well, I didn't know what to wear to a Roman villa. I turned up wearing a toga. And then when you get to the school on the day and you're not in your normal class, you're siphoned off into groups. Was it like this at your school? I don't care. But when you get there, you were siphoned off into groups. Are you smiling? I don't know. I don't know. You're sort of agitated. Don't pull your mask down. Don't pull your mask down. Don't pull it down. You won't feel the benefit. And it would be quite exciting until they told you you had to hold a clipboard and go round with a worksheet. You have to go round and you have to ask questions like, what was the name of the lady of the house? And I remember thinking, I don't give a shit. I'm 7 years old. And then after lunch, you do a mosaic workshop. Oh, one of those. Yeah, sure. Like we're on some sort of hen party in Hackney. Basically, we were just being trained to be tilers. And we were just grateful to be at Lullingstone Roman Villa, because the cheapo school trip was that we'd go to the local high street and we'd have to put on high-vis vests like we were builders. Everything was just driving us towards the construction industry. And we'd stand in the high street asking questionnaires. I mean, we'd go up to random people walking along the high street and go, oh, hello, madam, how many bedrooms do you have in your house? And these people being like, piss off, you nosy little prick. I mean, most of your childhood, you're told, don't speak to strangers unless you've got a clipboard in your hand. I mean, all the time, I just kept thinking, how is this going to be helpful in later life? How will this ever be useful? But then, of course, during the lockdown, one of the few things we can do is go on day trips, and we get to go to places like National Trust properties. Have you been to a National Trust property, anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Don't go to an English Heritage, though. Don't you dare go to an English Heritage with a National Trust badge. They will tell you to get the fuck out of their gravel driveway. Going to a National Trust home basically involves just walking around a massive house that you cannot afford. It's like a right move search that's got out of control. Rich people who own it, they say, you can walk around our house and you can think about what it would be like to live here, but you can't go into the house. We'll put up ropes everywhere. You can walk up to the rope like you're in a nightclub. Terrible nightclub with tapestries. And you think, this is nice. You think, oh, well, you know what? I don't know what's going to be next. Maybe I'll just volunteer at this National Trust home, and suddenly you're there wearing a tabard, standing at the doorway going, did you have a nice time at Scotney Castle? And you realise all those questionnaires at school were all leading up to this very point.
All paid off. Yeah.
Anyway, I have had a lovely time. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, Mr. Tom Allen. Thank you, Tom. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more of the best new comedy around. We hope to see you then. Take care of yourselves. Good night, everybody.
I was supposed to tell you that about Carol.